In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
On this episode of Crown Jewels,
Archwell shares an Aquamundo report that has our eyes rolling.
Prince George turns 10, and it's making us all feel old.
And the Meghan and Harry divorce rumors continue to swirl.
We are back with another episode of Crown Jewels, the elite podcast for the royally obsessed, presented by Betches Media. I'm Lex Nico.
And I'm Samantha Bush. And before we get into the royals, you know, I do want to chat with you. Have you seen Barbie?
I have not because I'm in Europe and it's come out. But like, feel free, spoil away. I'm going to see it. It's the first thing I'm going to do when I get back to LA.
There's honestly like not much to spoil. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a really, really good movie. It's not at all what I thought it was going to be because I didn't know it was going to be. This is so stupid of me. I didn't know it was going to be so funny.
Really?
I knew it would probably have like comedic moments, but I genuinely didn't know that it was going to be like a laugh, like, ha ha. Like, there were so many times.
Were you laughing out loud?
Lex. I, at one point, had tears in my eyes because I was laughing so hard. Like, throughout the movie. Ryan Gosling, showstopper. Scene stealer. Give him the Oscar immediately. Like, I tweeted earlier today, like, our grandparents had Cary Grant. Our parents had, like, Robert De Niro. Like, an actor for their generation. And, like, for us, I feel, for millennials, it's Ryan Gosling. Like, he's really carried us through so many things. Like, he's just such a good actor.
And he's versatile.
And, like, him as Ken, I am obsessed. I'm obsessed with Ken. He's so crazy. And, like, of course, like, there is this, like, serious undertone, like, discussing, like, feminism, the patriarchy, et cetera, et cetera.
The wokeness of the film, everybody keeps talking about.
But it's not, like, grandstandy. It's not, like, super in your face. They do it in a really smart way, and it's really good, and the sets are beautiful. Like, I'm obsessed with it. And then there's this montage at the end, Lex. I cried.
Am I going to lose my mind?
I cried. It was, like, all these clips of, like, little girls and, like, like just, like, home videos of, like, girls, like,
playing with
Barbies. Right now.
I know. I'm getting goosebumps from you, like, you talking about
this. Like, they were, like, doing cannonballs and braiding hair. And, like, it was, like, they were with their moms. And it was, like, so moving. And, like, I just got so emotional just thinking about girlhood.
Yes.
And how I feel like there's so much shame around girlhood. And, like, we are forced so much as girls to, like, grow up fast and, like, become, like, little women. And there's so much, like, embarrassment around, like, playing with toys and, like, doing this. And it's, like, you know, but boys still play video games.
Yeah.
They still play the same video games they played when they were, like, 8. And I was talking to Danny, my boyfriend, about it. And I was, like, I really thought about it. And there's no, like, movies out there that, like, celebrate girlhood. Like, with boys, you get, like, The Sandlot, Goonies. You get, you know, Rookie of the Year. You get, like, all of these movies that are just, like, wow, like, boys being boys. And they're, like, playing baseball and they're like building rafts in the woods or something. And like, girls, we get like, what do we get?
We got the Babysitter's Club, but still,
but that was like we were raising kids.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. And like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is like teenagers. It's
teenagers,
not girlhood.
Like that revolve around like boys.
Yeah. Oh
my and some
God.
Aspect.
Oh, so wait, what like, was that movie?
There was Now and Then, which is like the only movie I could think of that like represented like girls in that age. Like I just can't think of anything like wholesome. Like, and I was telling, like I was saying with Danny, I was like, but those Sandlot and everything, they're not considered like boy movies. Those are like family films. Whereas like with girls, it's like everything is like, oh, that's a girl musician, that's a girl movie. So boys don't
female
see
director
that. And it's just like,
yeah,
but I listen, like, I would never classify, like, Bruce Springsteen as, like, a boy musician, but yet Taylor Swift is considered for girls. It's like, yes. It just was this point of the movie, like, it was just so beautiful. Like, it was so good.
I really am loving, like, how genuinely hardcore you are about how much you enjoyed this movie. Like, your joy and, like, specialness for it is, like, radiating out of this computer screen for me.
I really loved it. And, like, if you played with Barbies as a kid, like, I'm an only child, so I've had so many Barbies. Okay? I was, like, a Barbie.
They were my friends.
Like, every day I played with Barbies. And it's, like, so crazy because there's so many things in the movie that, like, represent Barbies, like, how you play with them and just, like, the sets were perfect. Like, how she takes a shower and there's no water. It's because, like, Barbies, like, when you play with them, there's no water.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm not, like, a huge Kate McKinnon fan. Like, I think she's funny, but I'm never like, oh, I love her. She's hilarious. She played Weird Barbie. And she...
Yes, which I love that they had that because we all had one.
A Weird Barbie. Every girl, yes, or anybody who played with Barbies had a Weird Barbie. And, like, the Barbie, absolutely, like, only does, like, her legs are kind of broken. Like, she does the splits. Like, she has crazy hair.
And I love that they got the hair perfectly. Because, again, we all cut the hair. I think I had one where it's, like, I cut the hair and then I, like, put nail polish on it because, yeah, I was trying to dye the hair.
Yeah, you were, like, giving her a look, you know? And the thing with Barbie hair is when you cut it, it ain't ever going to look good. No matter what you do.
I don't even know if, what's his name? Chris Appleton could cure a Barbie haircut.
No, Jen Atkin could never. Please. So I'm just saying, like, you have to see it. It's really, really special. And I went with Danny, his mom, his bubby, and his sister-in-law and his cousin's fiance. So Danny was the only boy.
Danny, what an ally. What an ally to the feminist movement.
He was like, Sam, it was really good. I was like, mm-hmm, it was.
I have, though, I, again, haven't seen this movie, but I have been listening to I'm Just Ken, the song Ryan Gosling performs, mm-hmm, on repeat. It is a triumph. Mm-hmm. There's, like, layers to that song. There's act 1, 2, and 3. It's phenomenal.
No, like, he's so good in it. And there's so many. It's really, like, this movie to me is a time capsule of, like, this era that we're in. Like, it's very, mm-hmm, much, like, for women who... And I'm sorry, like, I know people are taking their, like, kids to see this. This isn't Toy Story. Like, this is for, yeah, like, women to watch. And, like, maybe girls, like, over the age of, like, 11.
Okay, so it's more adult than you might.
I don't think it's, like, for kids. Yeah.
Okay. You're making me really excited
to see this. It's really good. Like, it's really smart. And also just, like, I'm really into the movement, like, of going back to the movies and, like, it's getting people excited. Yes. It's, like, giving us this, like, little nugget of, like, joy in this hellscape.
Yeah. It's my favorite. You know, going to the movies alone is my favorite.
What do you get at the movies? Do you get anything to eat? A little snack?
Oh, absolutely. So what I love to do is a Sunday matinee. Mm-hmm. I get either a Diet Coke. Depends on what I'm fancying that week. But, like, I get a Diet Coke, Fountain Diet Coke.
Crisp.
Divine. Or I will make an Arnold Palmer with lemonade and iced tea. So depending on how I'm feeling, go either way. Sometimes I'll make it with, like, the fizzy lemonade.
You don't
so
get a slush?
No slush. DC or Arnie Palmy alert. Yeah. That's it. And then I do popcorn. I don't do butter on my popcorn. And I get Twizzlers.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. What is your order?
I definitely get a slush. Like, I immediately have to get a slush.
Don't you get cold, though?
No. I mean, I wear a sweater when I go to the movies because it's cold in there usually. And then I get popcorn. And then this is going to be really weird. But you know what Crunch-A-Bunch is?
Are they those clusters?
Like chocolate clusters. And they're like crackly, but they're like covered in chocolate. Yeah. But the secret to them is, and this is going to sound a little weird, but the girls that get it. Is you take your box of Crunch-A-Bunch and you put it in between your legs, in your thighs, and you let it get a little melty. Ooh. You let those thighs heat up the Crunch-A-Bunch, okay? And it gets like a little melty and then you can eat it. You can't have it like not melty.
Hard, mm-hmm, hard.
It's just not good. But I'm a big popcorn girly.
Oh my gosh.
Did you see that the AMC, same, I don't know what city it is, but they ran out of Diet Coke?
No.
Because the girlies were like going to see Barbie and they
ran. Barbie in droves. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
That is amazing. Okay. I know like we got to get into royal news, but the last thing I'll say is obviously everything on social media is Barbie, Oppenheimer, whatever. But there was, I forget who posted this, but there was a guy, he's a photographer, a street style photographer in New York. And he's like, this is why I love New York. And he did this montage of everybody dressing up, walking into the movie theater. And it was fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was just like, this brings me joy. Like for somebody who loves going to the movies, like the act of going to the theater, I'm like, this is just like, we have so much shit going on in the world. Like, this is just like, let us have one good, happy thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is really happening.
And it was cute. Like the movie theater, we went Monday night and it was busy. Like it was so busy. And I was like, that's so nice. You know, go see it if you haven't.
Go see. And the last thing I'll say, I posted this tweet and I feel like you'd get a kick out of it too. Talking about Ryan Gosling, we'll end on a Ryan Gosling note. And they're like, one thing about Ryan Gosling in a movie is he's going to serve a cunty coat. And they had like Drive, Blade Runner, and Ken. And I'm like, it's so
He's going to serve a cunty coat.
He committed to this role. Oh my gosh. Well, Sam, it's time for tea and crumpets. So do you want to start us off with some royal subjects? For our royal subjects?
I would love to. So our first tea and crumpy is Archwell makes a new announcement this week. So Archwell has been kind of quiet the last, you would say, few months. So Archwell shared on its website that it has supported Equimundo, a charity that aims to, quote, engage men and boys as allies in gender equality, and releasing a new report. Equimundo has released the State of the World's Fathers 2023 report. They conducted research across 17 countries and surveyed thousands of men and women. The 2023 data shows that men are increasingly involved in caregiving and would like to increase their care work at home, although deeply ingrained social norms and lack of supportive policies and power structures discourage them from doing so.
I mean, I have two feelings here. First of all, excellent report. Love to hear it. I work at Pinterest. They're extremely supportive when it comes to like parental leave and supporting gender equality with caregiving. So I love to see that this report is sort of flagging that men would like to increase their care work at home, let's say, and hopefully companies and organizations take note of that. The other point I wanted to highlight was the fact, the timing of this announcement. And how when we talked about the Emmy nominations snub, the PR expert that was weighing in was like, what they need to do is focus on work and moving forward and getting back to the work. And then we got this. So I think this was actually, while I am so often banging my head against the wall with these two about like, what are you doing? I think this is just like a nice, light snack of an announcement of like, we're getting back to work.
Yeah, it's nice to see Archwell in the press again, because that is kind of what they've hung their hat on, is like this, you know, charity and everything. And like, this is what they're passionate about, which is great. But it's not so much Archwell. I do just kind of find this report to be kind of like eye-rolly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, men want to participate, but, you know, the social norms and like everything at play like makes it hard. It's like, then just do it. Like, you guys are in charge here.
Yeah, like you are literally men. Just change.
Yeah, like I'm like, okay. Because it's like, okay, have you seen that trend on TikTok where it's like guys will like text their girlfriends and be like, I was going to get you flowers. And it's like, well, then why would you tell me that? Because now I'm like, well, why didn't you get them for me? Like, I would have never even thought you would get me them.
Yes.
So it's like this idea that's like, well, I want to help, but like, can I? It's like, yes. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You quite literally can. You might have to sacrifice a little bit, like women do every day.
Which you're not used to.
Please.
You know what? I totally hear you and echo that sentiment as well, because it's like these deeply ingrained social norms, lack of supportive policies. It's like, well, again, as you said, you can change those, like that generational trauma of ingrained social norms, start now. But you're right. It's like you have to work a little harder. You have to do something a little different. I think the other thing that I find interesting here, I hate this because I hate getting yelled at in the comments and in my DMs.
I'm numb to it.
So the work that they did was sharing
A report.
A report. Okay, like, cool.
I know. You know? We're like really dancing around this. We're like, so.
But I'm like, what did you, supported Equimundo, how? Mm-hmm. Did you conduct this research? Did you fund it? Like, how did you support it? Or are you supporting it by sharing it? Yeah, like, are you just retweet, send her off? The thing that I am curious about with the language on the Archwell website is that it ends by saying it also emphasizes the need for media representation that normalizes men's caregiving roles. And in my opinion, let me be clear, in my opinion, I am like, what are these two going to do now in terms of content around men's caregiving roles? Because that's what I'm taking mm-hmm. from it.
That's 100% what I thought too. I was like, okay, so like now what? The thing with them is I just want them to fucking do something. Like, do something mm-hmm. substantial. Like, do something that we can, like, sink our teeth into and be like, okay, this makes sense. Like, you and I have discussed this a million times with the Invictus Games. Like, that to me is, like, a tangible thing where I'm like, this has Harry's stamp on it. Like, you can tell that this is something he's so passionate about and something we can
yes.
see that he's doing. Retweeting Equimundo's report on men and boys is like doing nothing for me. I'm sorry. It's crazy.
Oh, man. This is going to be one of those episodes where you make me like
I'm being serious.
Laughing.
I'm just like, I don't really get it.
Retweeting Equimundo's report. Like,
but that's what they're doing.
I hear you.
You know?
That's, it's, I had.
It's giving performative.
Yes. And that's the thing. I'm just like, I always leave these conversations of tea and crumpets with Archwell. I'm not even going to say Harry and Meghan specifically because Archwell is an organization. Mm-hmm. It is a collective of people as a whole. It is not just the two of them, but I'm always left with questions. Always. I'm like, how have you supported? How, mm-hmm. how have you supported this? Just give me a little, one more sentence, please. Yeah. And I'm assuming like, it's through financial support, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, and it's like on its face, it's a great thing. And then when you and I kind of talk more about it, I'm like, oh, this actually means nothing.
It is a great thing, and it is great to have a space to amplify dialogue around mm-hmm. that. Again, I agree with you 1,000%. It's like if the charity's aim is to engage men and boys as allies, it's like, just fucking do it. Mm-hmm. Not, I know that they are doing it, like, obviously I'm being a bit bitchy here, but I'm just like,
yeah,
that's not going to happen.
I know.
Sorry. She's everything. He's just Ken.
Yeah, literally. Kenergy. I am Kenuff. I need that sweatshirt. I know that that's such a sidebar,
oh my
but
gosh.
It looks so cozy.
Now I know what to get you for your birthday. Danny, stay away.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Okay, let's get into topic number two, because honestly, this is a very fluffy number two tea and crumpet, but I don't care. I love it. I feel like Sarah Ferguson is just one royal that I just like cannot look away from. I know that she annoys the fuck out of you, but like every time there's an article about her, I am like, inject it in my veins. This is so nothing.
It's always a nothing burger with her. And like that's kind of I'm like why I think I'm obsessed.
Yes.
Because it's like
exactly.
Like I'm looking at this one and it was like this photo of her. She's got a lay on her head and she's like Sarah Ferguson post new story time with Fergie and friends. I'm obsessed with her in the worst way. Like I don't love her. I find her to be deeply problematic potentially due to her like association with Andrew and like
that spotted dick.
Yeah.
The annual spotted but dick.
Also, I love that she is fully just like leaning into Facebook grandma energy. Like she's posting on social media, like, you know, posting photos of everything. Like she just is sharing it all.
She's commenting on Eugenie's Instagram, like calm.
Yeah.
You know?
It's giving Kathy Hilton, you know? Like Rick, turn your phone on.
So what happened with this scenario was there's an Instagram fan account, Royal Addicted Replies, and they posted a photo of a note that they received from Fergie after sending a congratulatory card for her the birth of her newest grandchild. So Eugenie and her husband, Jack, welcomed their second son, Ernest George Rodney, who I love that name, on May 30th. And she wrote a little note saying, Ernest George Ronnie, such a total joy to our hearts, our new little lion cub. And it said the note was signed, Love, Sarah. And this is not hot gossip, but I wanted to talk about this because I just feel like between this and her like Gab podcast and her books, I'm like, this is the game Megan should be playing.
I know. When I saw that note in the outline, I was like, it was like a gong went off and it was like, like what the fuck? Like, why isn't Megan doing this? I don't understand. It gets me so angry because it's like, it would just make her so much more like relatable. It would just it wouldn't be so like contrived. Like, I just want like maybe like a blurry photo of like her yogurt in the morning and being like, yum, yum, yum. Like, I want her to be like basic as fuck on Instagram.
Exactly. I want the calligraphy note from her because we know that she took calligraphy classes. I think what it comes down to is like Fergie, for whatever reason, whether it's self-preservation or giving no fucks or whatever, she's just like, fuck it. I am going to show my personality. Like, I'm not a working royal. I feel like that's what I come back to with this. And like, I understand that there's so many nuances as to why Megan may not show her personality. But like, I want that playful, fun Tig side back. Like,
desperately.
I just want it back. Desperately.
Just give it to us.
And I love that Megan. I love the docuseries Megan. And I'm like, I'm all for Equimundo and I'm all for supporting gender equality for men and boys. But like, I also want your fucking oatmeal overnight oats recipe, okay?
I want your like gluten-free brownie recipe.
Tell me about your chicken's eggs.
I want to make a flour arrangement.
What did you buy at the farmer's market? Did you cook? Give us that, please. And that was really the only reason I wanted to share this was because I was like, I want to see, I miss Meg's personality and it makes me sad that we lost that. Due to this entire situation.
Yeah. And you know who I think it would be like a really fun collab?
Tell me.
I think Megan would do like really well with a collab with like Martha. Because you know how Martha Stewart is like hangs with Snoop Dogg and like she's got this like funny like edgy side to her personality that like no one like really expected. I feel like with Megan, I feel like they could do like a fun like YouTube video, like you know how Selena does like cooking in the kitchen with chefs or whatever that show is.
Yeah.
How Selena, I'm not going to say it. I don't want the Gomez bots coming for me, but like she's an industry plant.
Don't.
Anyway, so I'm just like, Why am I getting more from Fergie than I am from anybody else? You know?
You're the least concerned about what Fergie is doing, and yet somehow we know everything.
I know everything about her.
We know everything.
Fergie and friends.
It's almost like no, that's not. I was like, I want like Megan to be like a Carolyn Stanbury or something.
Yeah. You know who I want Megan to hang out with? Marissa from Ladies of London. She lives in Beverly Hills. I believe maybe Malibu. I don't know. She lives over there in California. I don't know the geographical layout of California. Like, if you held a gun to my head and said, like, where's Malibu? Like, I couldn't fucking tell you. Honestly, I would be dead.
I mean, I live in California. I don't know if I could either.
So I would like her to like hang out with her. She's like super successful. Yeah. She's like a restaurateur. She like lived in London. She was an American there. So like she kind of gets, and she hung out with like very like high, powerful London people.
People.
Yes. Powerful circles. So I would like to see that.
Oh boy. God.
Why aren't we running Megan's life?
I think about it all of the time.
Instead, she's got that like fancy ass PR guy who's doing nothing for her.
Yeah. Like I think about this all of the time. I'm like, I just want one. I want you to like, you know, people are like, oh, we're going to take over this brand social. It's like, Megan, let me take over your life for one day. We're going to have so much fun.
So much fun. So much fun.
God. And you know what? I also feel like I'm just going to end on this. It's like, I keep talking about this. I'm sorry. I know I keep talking about wanting the Tig Megan and da 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 da. But I just feel like I have to put it out into the universe. We're woo-woo girlies. Mm-hmm. And the more that we talk about it, the closer it is to happening.
100%.
And that is also my goal
if here. You verbalize things out loud, like obviously verbalizing, it's gonna happen, negative or positive, so be careful.
All right, well, let's get into our last topic here, because Prince George turned 10, and if you wanted to feel old, let me just say it again. Prince George turned 10.
Double digits. Okay. My mind is blown.
I believe it was July 23rd, was that, sorry, 22nd, was Saturday. Mm-hmm. I remember Kate Middleton walking out of the goddamn hospital with this newborn infant. Mm-hmm. And somehow you're telling me, between that core memory in my brain and last Saturday, 10 years have passed.
It's insane. I don't get it. I'm like, what? Where has the time gone? And then when you think about the fact that he's the same age as Northwest.
Yes.
Like, these two children are the same age. And yet, like, I don't, like, they're going to hang out in the same maybe circles, you know? They're going to cross paths, you know? And I'm very excited for that era. Like, I'm really excited for, like, all these kids to, like, grow up and, like, be little terrors.
Oh, my God. I mean, we're getting it. Like, Blue Ivy is 11, so she's only a year older than North and George.
She's only 11?
She's out there working this summer. Yeah.
Yeah, she's working.
She's born 2012. She's working. George is working, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they shared these. He got all his social media tributes. So he got it from his parents, which that photo, I'm like, you're a fucking adult. Oh, my God. And I know that, like, certain parents hate when you call their children adults. So I apologize to any parents that are like.
He just looks really grown up. They dress him like an old man. He looks like every finance bro I've ever seen. Yeah, he's in, he's always in a pair of loafers and some khakis and maybe a checkered button up.
The kid is looking like he is ready to be the King of England. Mm-hmm. Like, I also didn't realize he's the youngest heir to the throne to play an official role in a coronation. I knew this, but I forgot it. And as I was like reading through this article, I was like, he's the second in line. It's crazy because he's 10.
10. Yeah. And like, we've just seen like him. Remember when he was like a toddler-ish? He was like a lot of, like, there was a lot of memes with him.
Yeah. He had a lot of Louis energy, you know?
Yeah. And so to see him and you're like, this is the future King of England is so fucking crazy.
It's really wild. It's so crazy to think about like what the future of the monarchy will look like when he eventually takes over. Will I even be alive at this rate if 10 years have passed?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. And like, I don't think he looks like William. Like, I don't think he looks like William at all. I feel insane. I feel crazy.
What do you mean?
I don't think they look alike. Like, I definitely can see, like, okay, yeah, like, that's probably his dad. But like, I'm looking at their photos. I'm like, I'm not seeing it, you guys.
See, I think he looks like young William. Like, I think he looks like college William. But I think that's also because like he has hair.
Yeah. 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 Poor William.
So there's that. But I also went down another tangent and I put it here in our show notes. I'm a huge nerd and I'm sorry, but so he got all his social media tributes, right? Mm-hmm. Parents, grandparents, Westminster Abbey. But I didn't realize that they have stopped since 2020 doing the official ringing of the Abbey bells for any royal's birthday. So prior to 2020, they would ring those bells. That tradition changed due to financial issues during COVID. And I went down a rabbit hole because I had questions. I was like, how much does it cost to ring this mm-hmm. bell? What? It's a bell. But I looked it up and apparently the church lost a ton of money because they had to close during the pandemic. It's estimated they lost 12 million pounds in 2021 and had a reduction in staff. But I'm like, that's a lot. Like, how were they making all of that money in the first place? Through tours?
When we talk about the royal family, Lex, like, it just confirms to me that I don't know how money works. Like, I don't know how this happens. I don't know how you lose 12 million pounds. I don't know. It's so confusing to me. Like,
it's so much money.
When it comes to the royal family, the money is a little cloudy.
Yeah. And I'm sure they like it that way, you know? And then I saw photos of this, the bell ringer. And there's like at least 8 to 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have like an obsessive thing with certain.
I love it.
Like when I have a question in my mind. And I guess there's like a real, like you have to train to be a bell ringer. So
like a trade school?
I don't know. I don't know if there's like you can sign up for a course. It's like a 6 to 12 weeker. If you like are an apprentice bell ringer. Yeah.
Like if your father was a bell ringer, are you a bell ringer?
Yep. I don't know. Interesting. But no bell ringing. Hmm. It's very expensive to ring the bell.
Clearly.
Now we know. I'm so glad I can sleep.
I'm so glad you can rest your head peacefully tonight. Well, Lex, are you ready to make it rain?
You know I am, because when this was announced this past week, things got in a frenzy. Now, we have touched on it, I believe, these Harry and Meghan breakup rumors. There were blinds posted on Des Moines. Mm-hmm. There, you know, were these rumors swirling about. But then Radar Online released an article, your fave. I love your Instagram stories when I see a post from Radar and I'm like, oh, she's like in it today.
I'm in it.
She's got the goss. And so they said Harry was taking a potential solo trip to Africa to film a documentary and Meghan wasn't going with him. And the Radar Online source said, quote, the Sussexes are under tremendous financial pressure to fund their lavish California lifestyle, including their $14 million mansion and huge security costs. And so then the thing that always freaks me out is Marie Claire wrote an article. And when things like Harper's Bazaar, Vanity Fair even.
I was going to say, yeah, it's like when those types of publications start kind of getting in the mix, it's a little stressful. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm. And so there are these breakup rumors, but the Marie Claire article angle is like, take it with a pinch of salt. Don't believe everything you hear. And I guess Page Six posted on their Instagram and Nacho, who is the polo player that's like very good friends with Harry, commented that it was like made up. Don't believe everything that you hear. Mm-hmm. This is a lie. So what are your thoughts here?
I go back and forth. So like my first instinct when I see like a Radar Online, a TMZ, a Page Six, I'm like, okay. Or a Daily Mail.
Yes.
I kind of am like, nah, I don't know about all that. Like, this feels like a stretch. It feels like they're capitalizing off of, you know, this hard time that they're clearly going through in the press again. But then we get the Marie Claire's. And then we get the Vanity Fairs. We get the Varieties. We start getting more like, I'm going to say like real publications of like quality. You know, not so gossipy. Because like, Marie Claire's like never been a publication where you're like, oh, they're just like spreading these salacious lies and rumors to get clicks. Like,
yes,
they, I correct. Feel like they really always have taken a beat and like let things play out and get good sources and get everything kind of all the ducks in a row. And so with Meghan and Harry, I'm just like, this is a lot of smoke for there to be no mm-hmm. fire. I'm not saying that they're going to get divorced. I'm not saying they're headed for a divorce. I'm just saying I think there must be like a little nugget of truth that like they're going through something right now, because I do find it really yes. odd that like we're not seeing Meghan do anything. I find that to be really weird. Like, we saw her at the farmer's market and a 4th of July parade. But like career-wise, I mean, for signing with what, WME?
WME.
And for mm-hmm. her to like not be anywhere, it just feels odd.
And I mean, they move slow. We know that. Like, ugh. I know that. Slow. But you're right. Like, given the fact that it's like you signed with WME, you have the CEO of WME as like one of your representatives. Mm-hmm. You have Serena Williams as agent, all of these things. Like, what you doing, girl? Like, what's the plan here? Mm-hmm. And again, I hope and I am optimistic that they're going to come and blow it out of the water. But I just feel like I definitely could maybe, you know, this alleged stress that's going on, feel that from mm-hmm. them and like see how that could possibly be true. I just don't know after all of this if they could actually break up for their brand. And then I said something to you when we were texting. Mm-hmm. I was like, plot twist, because everyone is like, oh, Meghan like realizes she doesn't need Harry anymore, da 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 da. But I was like, no. What if now they're out of the royal family, they've been removed, and Harry is realizing that like maybe they were potentially trauma bonded mm-hmm. and maybe he's like, I'm out of the royal family. That still feels good. But reality is sinking in and I still want to identify and soul search who I am on my own.
Mm-hmm. I think you are onto something with that. Like, I totally can see that, because I've seen friends get into relationships with people when they're going through kind of like a hard time, like their parents are getting divorced, mm-hmm. their job is awful, whatever, you know? And yeah. kind of when the dust settles, you're like, oh, like I really don't even really like this person I'm with. Like, because
yeah.
they were a distraction. They helped me through this hard time. But like, that doesn't make a relationship 100%.
Yes.
And I just think like the reality of like, oh, I'm really out of the royal family. This maybe didn't go the way he thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of trauma that him and Meghan have both gone through together.
Exactly.
And I think that that's really hard. And I think that that takes a toll on any relationship. So I don't know. I don't want to see them break up. I really like them as a couple. I mean, you and I were like the biggest champions of that documentary. Like, we were obsessed. Markle Sparkles.
We literally, I know we like have our opinions on their professional mm-hmm. direction, but like as like a personal couple, rock
we're
solid.
Into it.
Love them. I'm goo goo gaga for goo, them. Goo, they're goo, nerds gaga. Together. Like, you can just see their fucking dorks together on that couch. I'm like, oh my Nerd God, alerts. I love. I'm eating this up with a silver spoon. Mm-hmm. And I really hope, not even for their brand's sake and not even for the British media to absolutely abominate. Is that a word? Abominate yeah. them? Being like, I told you so. But like, just for them, I want them to have their happiness. I do too. Get their coin and like get it together.
I agree.
So rough patch or not, I really hope this isn't true. The thing that concerns me, and I know anybody can send anything to Demois and like totally fabricate things, and she also disclaims that, but like these spottings of him staying in a hotel like near the house freaking me out. That could also though just be like a thing where it's like the kids are sick, so he's staying out of the house. You know?
No.
Like, my one girlfriend has two kids. Yeah. And she has a newborn, and the older boy got sick. So she and the newborn went to stay at her parents' house.
How big is their house?
And the dad stayed with the boy. Okay. Yeah. It's not a Montecito.
You're like, it's a two-bedroom apartment. I'm like, okay. They're living in, like, a mansion. Like, he can stay in another room. You know what I'm saying?
I'm so desperate for this to not be true.
I know. I'm like, Alex? That's kind of great. Like, that's a stretch. That's a reach.
Sam was literally like, okay, grandma, let's get you. Yeah, like, that was the look you just
That's
gave
how I felt. I was like, Lex, be fucking for real. The thing about Harry, and this is something I've been noodling on for a while.
Okay.
Is I think that there's a level you can get in therapy when you almost over-therapize everything and it's actually like keeps you from moving forward. And sometimes that happens like when people claim like how self-aware they are. It's like that's actually a defense mechanism to be like, I know this about me, so I'm good. And it's like, well, no, that's not actually how this is going to happen. And I think he's done so much like therapy work that, not saying it's like been to his detriment, because I do think he's like grown a lot, but you can also get to a place where it's like you then start to over-therapize everything in your life and you're not like rooted in like the actual reality of like what's happening. And I think that that kind of is maybe what happened with his family, because it's like you're putting this expectation on the family to be, to meet you where you are. And like, that's not possible. Yes. Like that, it's just never going to happen. And so instead of like,
exactly,
it's like, what is the therapist telling him? Because I always think it's like a little bit of a red flag. Like when people start going to therapy, when they're like, when the therapist like immediately start telling them like, you know, this will make relationship in your life harder because you'll start to like realize things and like unpack. It's like, yeah, but then it should come back around. Like it might pull you apart in the beginning because you're working through all your shit, but then you got to kind of like move through that and come back. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that.
No, I totally hear what you're saying. And I echo that as well in the sense like it is like the same but different situation was like that Jonah Hill situation, right? Where he's like, these are my boundaries, da, da, da. And it's like the language he's using in those texts is so like armchair expert therapist where it's like, you've had so much therapy that the way that you're speaking and the language that you're
is
using,
unhinged.
Like, you're not a therapist.
No, it's
bro.
Unhinged.
And I have like going through like breakups and things like that. Like I have gotten to that place in my own head with therapy. And even with like the Instagram, like all the like dating posts, it's like, you cannot do this and blah. And it's like, I had to stop looking at that content sometimes because I was like, this is making me fucking nuts.
And you know, got to a place like where I used self-awareness as such a defense mechanism. Like I was like, well, I know this about myself and I'm this way because of this. And it's like, you sound like crazy. Like that's not okay. Like just because you know that doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
And I just feel like with Harry, he does that. Harry's definitely sent a Jonah Hill text. I'm going to say it. Maybe not to Megan, but I feel like he's definitely like with friends has probably used the word boundaries a lot.
Yeah,
and it's like,
for
can
sure.
you shut the fuck up?
I mean, the thing for me that like was kind of a, let's say a yellow flag was, remember when he had Spare and then he had that like in conversation with Dr. Gabor Mate? And it was like, I didn't watch it, but I remember like reading the comments about it and reading like reviews. And they said like it just turned into like a live therapy session for Harry. And it's like, if you are like craving that or you're needing that or that's like what you're going for, like that also is something that you maybe want to take a step back from and assess and look at. Like if you can't function through life or like make decisions or whatever without thinking that that's like the only way that you can get through your day to day, like that's troubling. Like, and again, I'll go back to the Jonah Hill example. If you feel like your communication can only be done, and also, I think the important thing is like you can only receive information in that same tone with that same language.
That's a problem. It's not real.
It's not real.
It's not real.
And it's not reality. And it's like you can't expect people to meet you where you are if you're unwilling to meet them or accept them where they
are. I know.
You know? Like,
yeah. And it's, I find people like Harry at times and Jonah Hill, for example. I love that we're putting them in the same basket.
I know. It's very
it's similar,
but different.
Totally. It's like same, but totally different people. They almost use like therapy as like a weapon. Like it's like self-righteous. And I think that that's maybe his family's issue with him is they're like, you're not in your core that different from us. you need mm-hmm. to chill the fuck out. Like, it, yes. I can just imagine him being like, I've done this work and I've done, it's like people that really do the work and like are in a decent place don't need to talk about that all the time.
Exactly.
I understand he wants to spread Correct. The message and the awareness to like men go to therapy, but I don't think the way to do that is to be like, I abandoned my entire family, you know, because of this. It's like, what? Like, that's not real. Yeah. Like, that's not what real people go through. It's just so out of touch, honestly.
Yes, and it's fair. Like, if he needs to do that for a period of time or whatever. Totally. But I think the issue that I see with it is, like, it's not just, like, I needed to set that boundary, quote, unquote, and, like, separate from my family for a certain amount of time to protect my own well-being. It's, like, still the anger and the blame and the, like, vitriol that they used, like, that he used for so long toward mm-hmm. them. To your point, it's, like, if, like, you, there's, like, another phase of this, bro, where it's,
acceptance.
Like, you gotta accept mm-hmm. it. And either say, I want to make amends, or say, like, this is it now, but, like, it's not defining me.
Yeah. And he's letting that. It's, like, he becomes, letting like, it he's, like, obsessed him. With this idea of being, like, he wants them to be wrong so badly because yes. he wants to be right. And he wants everyone to know yeah. that he's right. And he wants everyone to know that his family fucking sucks. And yet he still wants, it's very strange. He wants everyone to like bow to him and be like, you're right. Like, we fucked up. Like, I can't believe we did that, whatever, whatever. And like, that's never going to happen because you're dealing with like the King of England, literally. So I feel like also Meghan's probably like, that's hard to deal with. That's probably yeah, hard to be around.
But also it's like his like unwillingness to accept things is like, what makes him so similar to the people in his family? Exactly. Because they were all raised the fucking mm-hmm. same. They all always got their way.
They're all going to be upset when a pen doesn't work, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. It's just the facts. And Megan's probably like, you are facts. Insufferable right now. Like, I would hate mm-hmm. that. Because, like, just, I've, like, known people who've been, like, in a lot of therapy. And, like, they think that that makes them, like, right. And they think that that.
Yes.
You're like, what they're, well, my therapist said. It's like, well, your therapist is hearing one side of the story. Okay. Your therapist is on your side, my friend. And not yes. all therapists are good. I'm going to say this. There are some therapists out there that I think therapy is good, but you got to get a good one. You got to get one that's like not going to like live up your ass and tell you that you're right all the time. You need someone that yep. kind of like holds the mirror up to you and is like, well, what are we doing about? What are you doing in the situation? I think some therapists should make you mad at times. I think you should leave therapy sometimes kind of pissed. Be like, what the fuck?
Well, you know what? Like, I obviously, I've been through therapy. I've done multiple rounds of therapy. But, like, it took me a very long time in my life to the point of this conversation to realize, like, I have imperfections and that's okay. Yeah. Like, I have spent so much time feeling guilty or bad about, like, not always being on. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's messed up. And I just feel like it's, like, the same, not the same thing, but it's like, Harry, like, it's okay if you're still hurt, but like, you're not 100% right, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? And just, that's it. That's end of yeah. sentence. There doesn't have to be a dialogue or a conversation or like a assessment. No. It's like, that's just it.
Just leave it alone. Sometimes, like, you know, I hate to bring up housewives, but Bethany Frankel said once that when you don't know what to do, and this is obviously not her quote, I think she stole this from someone else, but I don't know the original quoter, the original sayer of this sentence, but it's like, when you don't know what to do, sometimes the best thing to do is just stand still. And I think mm-hmm. Harry should have stayed still for a little bit. I think yes. he did too much, too boom boom boom, and there's now the quiet, it's quieted down, and I think that that's haunting.
Agreed.
Wow. Agreed. Wow.
I love
we got that. Really deep.
Layers. We got really deep. I think that is what, like, I, in totality, you just summed it up so well. It's like, after all the noise and distraction and everything has come to a halt, now you have to sort of face the reality, and that is really fucking hard. Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, like, you don't have your family. Even though you hate them, yeah. allegedly, you don't have them anymore. You're in Montecito. You're in a new country. Like, the reality is hitting them, I think, and not saying that that's going to lead them to a divorce, but it will create a draining period. Like, you know, yes. it's kind of like when you're in a relationship. Attention. And there's the honeymoon phase. And then there's a phase after that. I cannot remember the name of it, but there's like a name for it. And it's like where you're coming out of it and then you like start to realize who you're really with. And then that causes like a lot of fighting. And that's usually when a lot of couples break up because then they think, oh, well, we're not good together. Like this isn't how it was before. We're fighting all the time. And it's usually like if you can make it through that phase, people say that like you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Because coming out of that honeymoon phase is like a little jarring. Even though you like love the person it's you're with, tough. You're like, fuck, like you're a real person. Like,
yeah. And it, essentially what it comes down to, like this is to end on a note of therapy. It's like, you just have to decide, you know, like you just have to decide. Are you going with it or are you not?
That's such a good point.
And that's what you do. It's time for our favorite game of Mail or Fail. One of these is a real headline from the Daily Mail or a similar publication, and the other has been completely made up by our producers. So will we spot the mail or will we fail? And before you get going, Sam, I just need to shout out Becca because week after week, Becca's our producer. These headlines are fucking phenomenal.
I know.
I love you, Becca. I don't know how you do it.
A wordsmith.
This is my favorite part.
A wordsmith. Yes.
So thank you.
So option number one, slick celebration. 31 years after divorce, reports say Prince Andrew secretly met with Sarah Ferguson on their late wedding anniversary. Option number two, loose lips. Loose women fans convince mystery erotic writer guest is a very famous royal. God, I pray it's the second one. I pray.
I don't know. What is loose women?
I don't know.
I'm saying number one because I have no idea what number two is.
Let's see. Loose Women is a show, it appears. It looks like The View, but I think British. Oh. So it was number two, is the real one.
Incredible.
Loose Lips. Loose Women fans convince mystery erotic writer guest is very famous royal after appearing on a show in disguise. The secret socialite known as Ava appeared on Today's Show in disguise to promote her debut book, Naked in Mayfair. Judy Love shocked the studio audience as she read a very racy passage from the spicy novel. The anonymous author had written, "His tongue brushed over her lips. She moved her body instinctively into his. They were an exact fit." The novelist, who appeared in person, albeit behind a screen, claimed she's concealing her identity to protect the reputation of her family. Interesting. Yeah, so Loose Lips or Loose Women appears to be like The View.
Okay. And then if you go down to the bottom of this article, it said, but it didn't take long for viewers to, quote unquote, work out who it was, with many insisting Sarah Ferguson was behind the naughty book. Of fucking course. There we go.
She is.
I needed this. Oh, my God. Our girl doesn't quit.
She doesn't quit. She's a hustler. And it makes total sense that she writing this book. This porn book. Good for her.
I see nothing. Like, there has never been anything that we have talked about on this podcast about Sarah Ferguson that has made more sense than Sarah Ferguson being a anonymous smut author.
I'm obsessed. Nothing has ever made more sense to me.
We need to read this book.
I know. What is it called? Let me see.
Naked in Mayfair.
Because she is an author already.
Exactly.
Sexy. Well, Lex, to finish up this week, let's name our spotted dick for the episode. Who has been a real steamed pudding?
I'm going with men. And I'm going with men based on the Equimundo report, State of the World's Fathers 2023, where they lack supportive policies and power structures and feel discouraged to get increasingly involved in caregiving.
How the fuck do you think we feel?
They built those ingrained social norms, supportive policies and power structures. So change them.
Or maybe have like some empathy for women. Clowns. Yes. You know,
who's yours?
I wasn't sure who mine was going to be, but I'm going to go with my spotted dick. It's going to be Harry's therapist.
Ooh.
I don't know who they are. Okay. I don't know where they are. You did a number on our boy. You know? I think some for the best, some maybe for the worst. It's true.
I know. You're just, Sam, you're legitimately one of the funniest people I know.
That's so
and you
great.
Don't even mean to be.
I just like, I'm like, what did you do to him? Like, you confused him to the point like where he's like just not in reality anymore. Like he can't, yes, he can't socialize with people unless they've like done all this like self work. It's like, chill the fuck out.
Yes. Ugh. Yeah. And I imagine it might be breeding a certain paranoia, mm-hmm, in him that like might have not existed before.
Yeah. Cause now, I mean, he's got all those lawsuits going on in the UK, like with the press. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, like let it go. At some point, he's got to let it go. He's got to let it lie.
I don't know what's going to make him feel vindicated.
I honestly, like, that's a great question. Like, what will make him feel, like, vindicated?
What's it going
to
take?
Like, what is it? What does he want? To bring it full circle with Ryan Gosling, what do you want? You know, from the top of the episode to the bottom, we're ending it on the Ryan Goss.
That's how you pod, baby.
Yeah, you know, professionals. Well, you guys, that's it for this week's episode of Crown Jewels. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
We'll have new episodes every single Thursday, so be sure to subscribe now so you don't miss our next episode. Please tell all of your royally obsessed friends and follow me at Lex Nico.
And you can follow me at Bravo Historian. And until next time,
may God save the betch.
Betches.